Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
I had no idea that when I would get ready to start a new series called A Simplify, that my life would be so hectic. I guarantee you, 3 of the last 4 days, I've worked from 7 in the morning to 2:30 at night. And I have still got a couple midnight hours to burn, and so here I am talking about simplifying your life. Also, we have added several new families, and we're always adding families here. Somebody give God praise just for that subject or that statement. Amen. But we got Vacation Bible School going on tonight, and junior high ministry and senior high ministry. But there's several new families. We have a new family. If you see someone you don't know, please stop and introduce yourself and say, I'm so-and-so. I've been here 17 years, and if I can help you with anything, show you around the church. We got a great church. Just let me know. So you look for people you don't know and get to know them better. Not to embarrass anybody, but Taylor, lift your hands. Taylor's family. Taylor, you have 7 brothers and sisters? That's what I thought, and all of them are here. And they drive all the way from Evansville, just decided to make this their church home. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise for that. Taylor, glad to see you, buddy. Taylor's a graduate of Lee University. All righty, what's going to happen is I want you to go to Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read you a story, but just set this up because we're going to go slow. And this isn't preaching material, but boy, it'll feed your soul. We're going to talk about simplifying our lives this summer and slowing down, the 10 practices for simplifying your life and your soul. And tonight we're going to talk about moving from exhausted to energized. And that sounds like a deep, tough, upward hill climb, but in reality, ladies and gentlemen, it's actually a very logical answer to that. And many times we think that only spiritual practices give us spiritual vitality. The truth is, sometimes the best thing you can do for your spirit is go for a long walk in the woods. And we're going to get into moving from exhausted to energizing. So I need to set up a video that's going to be about 10 minutes. We have a big ice cream supper tonight, so I'm going to not keep you long. But you need to watch this video. It's about 10 minutes. And let me set it up for you. Bill Hybels influenced my life more than about any preacher to build this church. As a matter of fact, Georgia, before we built this church 17 years ago, I walked up to him that year at a conference to Bill Hybels. You'll see him in just a minute. And I said to him, would you sign my book? And I said, I'm going to go build a spirit-filled church just like Willow Creek, but it's going to be spirit-filled, Pentecost Charismatic. And he looked at me, Sister Davis, like I was on crack. Nice guy, and smiled and wrote my book. I still got it. Wrote my book to encourage me on the building of Covenant Community Church. No one, LaFane, has influenced my life spiritually more than that man, because he is the minister God used for us to birth Covenant Community Church. Now, you're going to see him, and you're going to hear him talk about burnout in his own life. He pastors the second largest church in America. Everybody knows about Joel Osteen, but Bill Hybels pastors a church larger than his for many, many years. It's a great church, and he went through burnout where he just completely fell apart, and so he wrote a book. Now, we only have 12 of them. They're at the bookstore tonight. It's called, I don't have it with me, it's called Simplify. You need to get the book. You need to take it to the beach with you this summer. You need to take it to the mountains with you this summer. Wherever you're going, take that book with you. And use it as a daily devotional this year as we walk through the summer, because we're going to just slow down. So first thing I want everybody to do is I want you to take a deep breath. I want you to let it out. There's no agenda tonight, but to just stop and let God speak to our soul. Watch this video, and you're going to hear how this book and this series I'm going to teach this summer was birthed.
Well, truth be told, my wife Lynn was a little more fired up about having babies as young as we were. My hair was on fire starting the church, and I think I underestimated how hard it was going to be. Shauna came along in the first year of the church.
I remember the routines of our family life. I remember playing softball in the front driveway. I remember practicing spelling words after dinner. Looking back on it now, I can't imagine how scrambled his mind must have been.
It's hard for me to recall what I was doing right or wrong, because my benchmark would have only been what I remembered my family system being like. I mean, my father traveled virtually all the time. So the fact that I wasn't doing much traveling, I benchmarked that as being pretty good.
I don't think I understood exactly what he did, but I understood how much I liked to be with him and how much I loved the time that we had together. There was a night, I think he'd been gone several nights in a row, with elders meetings and launches of different things. And I asked him, are you going to be away again tonight? And I think he heard that question, certainly as more than a three-year-old could intend for it to mean. And I just thought, man, I like it when you're here. I love when you're here with me. I like how our life works when you're in the house with us.
And I realized as I drove away, she just missed me. And I miss her. I thought, oh, man. This is new territory. And that started a whole odyssey of trying to figure out how to look at my life differently, how to schedule my time differently, and how to be a different kind of dad. And I remember my head was spinning because I'd never thought of a schedule that pertained to my priorities as a father and a husband. I remember, like it was yesterday, taking a pen out, and I had my monthly calendar, and I thought, if that little girl is going to someday look back and think fondly of her dad, what's that going to require? The response I got from God was, you know, four nights a week. So kind of quivering handwriting, I put home, and then home, 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 just right through the end of that whole year.
Again, when you look at the outsides of his life, I think you would assume that he would be utterly unreachable because of the important stuff that he's doing. But what he showed me is that the important stuff he was doing was the stuff he did with us. And he still shows us that. The way that I was parented, very much in a present, connected, conversational way, has really shaped the way that we're parenting our kids.
I got to see firsthand how rich a family experience can be if you're all in it. Sometimes when I go over to Sean and Aaron's and they're having dinner, the four of them, and I look at all the fun that they're having around their table, and you know, kids spilling the milk and telling stories and laughing and all that, I do a flashback, and I think that's just the way our family table was. Sit there sometimes, you know, after it's done, just raise my hands to God and say, this is as good as it gets. You know, what a plan. Almost everywhere I go these days, I hear three phrases. People say, I'm exhausted, I'm overwhelmed, and I'm overscheduled. And I hear it over and over and over again. And this has actually bothered me so much that I decided I want to put some headspace into this. I want to wrap my mind around what is it that's driving these kinds of behaviors. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this series. We're going to talk about how to unclutter your soul, not just your closets and basements and schedules. We're going to talk about how to unclutter your mind and your heart and your soul so that you can live a different way. Often in my mentoring sessions, I'll take a flip chart and a real thick pen, and I'll draw my infamous bucket. And I've learned how to draw these very well, by the way. And I'll ask people if their life buckets are filled to the top, if they're filled with the love of God and the love of family, if they're well rested and they've been exercising, and if they're sort of refreshed or replenished in multiple ways, I'll say, what is life like when you're living it with a full bucket? And people will say, well, I make my best decisions when my bucket is full. And I go, yeah, me too. And I do my best thinking and praying and loving. And so when my bucket's full, and I say, I do too. And then to have a little fun, I'll say, so let's talk about when your bucket is empty, when you're distant from God, and when you have some family rifts that are unresolved. And let's say that your diet and exercise and so has not been going very well, and you're depleted in a whole number of different ways. They'll say, I'm easily irritated. And they'll say, I isolate. Or sometimes they'll say, I turn into a working machine. Or sometimes people will say, I just want to escape from reality. And the list goes on and on of the consequences associated with living life in a depleted state. That's always a fun conversation because I talk about streams of replenishment. And it's different streams for different people. For me, the streams of replenishment are very clear. If I'm in a close and dialed in relationship with God, that's replenishing. I mean, He kind of pours that refreshment into my spirit if I'm living closely with Him. If I'm good with my family, if we're relating in a very loving way, it pours joy and replenishment into my bucket, if you will. The best time to sit down and figure out what replenishing streams you need to arrange to keep your bucket full, the best time for that exercise is when you're at least half full or north of there, because then you have your wits about you and you can be creative and you can bring other people into the discussion and maybe they can help you a little bit. But what gets really hard is when you haven't yet identified your replenishing streams and you're getting closer and closer to that empty mark, because then you're out of gas and you're out of the energy required to figure out how to refill your bucket.
Amen. All right, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And I want to read you something that just kind of, just when I read this, I've read this passage like you so many times, I don't even know where to start and how many times I've read it. Expressing how many times I read it. But I caught something because of Bill Hybels that I've never caught before, and I want to show it to you. While they were traveling, verse 38, chapter 10 of Luke, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. Have you ever been distracted by your many tasks? Today at 4:44, I still had two major things that I had to do within the next hour and 50 minutes. And I was going to go away and get a lunch because I've eaten healthy all day. And because I got full of anxiety, I had to turn my car around because I was trying to beat a clock and I ate unhealthy. You ever done that? I got distracted by my many tasks. And so Martha was also distracted by her many tasks. And she came up and she asked the Lord, don't you care? That hit me like a ton of bricks. Don't you care? Of all the things to ask the Son of Man as a guest in your home, don't you care? Look how busy I am. Don't you care? I want to talk about moving from being exhausted to energized, which is really a sermon about how to replenish your energy reserves. Just like Bill Hybels, I hear a lot from people. I'm exhausted. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overscheduled. I'm anxious. I'm isolated. I'm dissatisfied. And people talk to me a lot about burnout in their marriage and burnout in their walk with God and burnout. And so the question is, how do you simplify? Because we know the answer is simplification of our lives in a very busy world. Am I the only one that wishes cell phones and technology would go away? That it rings and now they got these little stupid sounds that even when you get a text message and you're laying in your bed, it dings. So it's like you can't ever get away and have peace at all. And perhaps many people have assumed, like I have, that beyond these issues in my own experience, I kind of hope that some kind of whisk, some kind of crumbs, some kind of wisdom would fall on my own table in my busy life. And I'm nowhere near immune because I know far too much about being overwhelmed and exhausted and overscheduled. I, like you, are not inclined to live a simplified life. What's interesting is every one of us as human beings was created for simplicity in the garden. You see, that's the problem with hyperfaith. The human body was never meant to live up here. And the human body was never meant to live down here. Hyperfaith says it's always got to be up. Always got to be up, 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 up. Got to have this church service better than the next church service. The truth is, life was meant to be lived like this. With a balance. To where there's peace. And so me, I'm kind of like you. I wasn't designed and inclined to live a simple life. And I don't foresee my life is slowing down. Do you? See, your life is slowing down. But somehow with a single-minded focus, I want to make my goal, along with you, to go on a journey together as family in the community of faith and say, I want to keep God first, and I'm not going to stop working for him, but I want to simplify my life so that I can give him more glory. Can I get an amen? So I want you to know that your life could be different. And I want you to know that if you could be certain you were living the life God had called you to live and building a legacy where the people that are in your life loved you, would you? I'm sure all of you would. So listening to Bill Hybels and then also my own journey in life, I have found out certain practices that bring me closer to God that quite frankly, after studying professionally theology for 34 years, has nothing to do with theological training. Absolutely nothing to do with it. Luke 10, chapter 10, verse 38 through 42, Martha looks at him and says, don't you care? She looks at him and says, don't you care? Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work? So you go and tell her to give me a hand. And the Lord answered back to Martha and said, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice and it will not be taken away from her. And so Jesus turns around and he says to Martha, don't you care that she's seeking the right thing in her life? Here's the amazing thing about Jesus here, guys, that just dumbfounds me. Jesus doesn't escalate the conflict and says, don't you understand the Son of Man is standing in front of you? How dare you? Jesus doesn't say, how dare you speak to the Son of God this way? Jesus doesn't come back at her and say, easy does it, take a chill pill, Martha. No, no, no. He tells her that I can see you're overwhelmed, you're overscheduled, and you're exhausted like the rest of your culture. But you're making my visit much more complicated than what it should be. That's what Jesus is saying to her. And the antidote to a day is not getting everything done that you need to get done in the kitchen, in the office, at the work, or at the mall. The antidote actually is leaving some stuff undone and to sit down for an unrushed conversation with Jesus. One of the things that I've had to learn in ministry is that Jesus walked away from people that if he didn't touch, were going to die. And I've had to learn that I'm no good if I'm exhausted to you. And if that's true with me, then it also is true with you that you're no good to your family if you're exhausted. If you're burdened, if you're stressed out about the things of life, you're no good to your dad, to your mother, to your children if you don't replenish your own well. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Say amen. And so the antidote is not getting more things done. The antidote is leaving some things undone. Am I the only one that cannot rest until all the dishes are done? Am I the only one that if there's, like I want to go sit down and lay in bed if when I finally get there and then there'll be two clothes hangers sitting there and a Batmobile over here and a Barbie doll over here and until the Barbie doll's put back where she goes, until the Batman is back in his Batcave, and until the hangers are on in the closet, I can't concentrate. Maybe it's just me, I'm dysfunctional, I admit it. But I found out that the key to my day is a relationship. That no matter how busy I am, I'm too busy not to pray. That no matter how anxious I am, I'm too anxious not to get along with God. And no matter how much I've got in front of me, there's nothing that's going to help me get my day done more than putting Him first or spending time with Him. How many of you found out that to be true? Can I see hands? It's the truth. It's the facts. And so Bill Hybels says, I had this wake-up call. And my moment of this epiphany was far uglier than Martha's. And he said, for months, I went through this depression and went through this aloneness and over the edge. He said, I was so on edge, even the dog knew I was on edge. And he said, I complained to everybody. And what happens, and Bill Hybels makes this simple statement. That, folks, this is, my favorite kind of ice cream is vanilla. How many of you like just good old plain vanilla? Sometimes that's what you need in your diet. You don't need a T-bone. And this summer, I'm not giving you a T-bone. I'm giving you milk. And that milk, that refreshment, starts with the understanding that when you get so busy that you lose a merry heart in a Martha world, what happens is you get resentful of other people who are not as busy as you are. And you get resentful of your sister who will not help you with your dad in the hospital. And you get resentful of the person you're working with that will not pull their weight at work. And Satan knows how to wear you out. Just like I talked about the demonic marionette Sunday. He knows how to work you like a puppet. And so, if you're not careful, when you are overworked and exhausted, you can get into the cesspool of resentment and exhaustion and darkness, and it fills your heart. And you get to the place where you say, what's happened to me? A couple years ago, after building this church, I said, I'm either going to stop, and I don't mean for a week, I mean for a month or more, or it's over for me. And I packed my family up, you maybe remember that, and I left for a month. It's the single best thing I've ever done for you in my life. Absolutely, positively. Now, I know you can't take off from work a month, but I can tell you this, that the cost of depletion is too high. That if you don't get along with God and find a way to replenish yourself, you're going to spin out of control in exhaustion. And you may not commit adultery and ruin your family and get fired from work because you're an alcoholic. It'll be worse than that. You'll live in bitterness. You'll live in resentment. And then when you start trying, you ever notice that when you start trying to simplify your life, people make you feel guilty about it? Do you realize that when you want to simplify your life, and listen to this, and you need to write this down, you're going to say, I know I disappoint a lot of people when they ask me to do things for them, and I now feel I have to say no. I have to say no. Would you do my wedding? Would you do this? Would you make the flowers for me? Would you cook a cake for me? Would you? I realized that to simplify my life, I've got to focus. And that if I don't get to the maturity where I can say no to the things that aren't first, the first call of God on my life, then I'm not going to do that well. And you've got to get to the place in your walk with God to where you slow down, you stop, and you learn to say no to what you need to say no to, and you learn to say yes to what you need to say yes to. That's part of simplification. And it gives you energy for your rights. And I know it disappoints people, and people make you feel guilty. And one thing I've learned as a pastor, I've heard this for 34 years. Pastor Michael, you need to slow down. Pastor Michael, you need to take a break. Pastor Mike, I've heard that all my life. And let me tell you what that means until I need you. That's exactly what that means. And so, have you ever been so exhausted you got a little over the edge? Can I see it? I mean, if Martha smarting, popping off to the Son of God isn't over the edge, can you tell me what's over the edge? Jesus is in her house, and she looks at the Son of God and says, don't you care? this lazy woman, there's things to do. My house is full. We got to cook. We got to get the meal ready for everybody. And back then, women even had five times the burden they have today in that area. And Jesus looks at her, and he didn't pop off back to her. He doesn't get dishonest. He really looks at her and says, your buck is not very full, is it? And so I like the analogy Bill Hybel gives about the bucket. You can only give out of that bucket what you got in it. And here's the deal. You give out to your children, and you give out to your grandmother, and you give out to your husband, and you give out to your church, and you give out to work, and you give out this. And at the end of the day, there's not much left in your bucket for you. And I heard T.D. Jakes give some of the best advice. And I know that this is kind of centered around preachers and preaching, but I need you to understand it's appropriate for an engineer. T.D. Jakes said one time, I don't preach from my bucket. I preach from my reserves. In other words, I do ministry from the foam on the top, from the reserves. My walk with God is full, and that's the cream at the top of the bucket is what I give to everybody else. But you know what we do? We give from the bottom of our bucket. We give our sister from the bottom of our bucket. We give our alcoholic brother from the bottom of our bucket. We give people who we've helped 10,000 times and didn't appreciate it the first 9,999 times. And we give it from the bottom of our bucket. And God is telling all of us, I need you to stop and I need you to realize how to replenish yourself. Somebody say amen. And so it kind of starts with this first understanding. If you got a piece of paper, draw a bucket. And draw a bucket there somewhere tonight or somewhere this week in your quiet time. And I hope you journal. If you don't journal, you need to start. And journal a bucket and say, I'm the best when I'm filled up. Everybody knows that. But what's it look like with your bucket? Are you half full? Are you a quarter full? Are you living life from your reserves? Are you toxically depleted? Are you full of resentment like Martha? Are you screaming at people you love? You don't care? You bunch of disciples, you're nothing but mooches? Are you irritated when something minor goes wrong? You get mad at anyone who isn't overworking like you? I'm guilty of that. Sometimes when we get depleted, we get scattered and we lose our ability to focus and we jump from one distraction to the next with little to show for it. How many of you have done 10,000 things and you got little to show for it? How many of you have ever been so busy and at the end of the week you think, why did I get accomplished? And so simplifying your life really requires for you to focus. And we're going to get into some deep stuff this summer. But we confuse motion with progress. And I'll never forget the prophet Haggai that says, you keep putting money in a bag, but the bag has holes in it. We wrestle with shadows that aren't there. And so we've got to learn how to replenish our reserves. So my question for you, and you need to write this question down. What replenishes your bucket? What is it in your life? And I'm sad because some of you don't even know the answer to this. What is it in your life that fills you up? That recharges you? That gives you energy? That doesn't take energy from you? That actually restores your energy level. You know one of the things that I love? I love to go hiking. And I love to pray while I'm hiking. I love to do that. That replenishes my bucket. Working with the poor out on the streets replenishes my bucket. I just love it. It replenishes my bucket. But the truth is many of us are not replenishing our bucket and leading from the reserves. We're actually patching holes in the bucket. And we can't understand why we're so depleted. Sometimes people are afraid to say no to the boss, and they're afraid to say to their spouse or their children yes, because there's another last-minute project or commitment that somehow is going to deplete them beyond what's wise. And their self-worth is being connected to being an overachiever, and the end product is an undercurrent of guilt because your children are growing up and they're gone. One thing my mother has constantly told me is that, Michael, you're going to blink and they're going to be gone. If someone will judge you for having fun, or, and I'll be honest, I'm just, listen, I don't have any intentions of preaching camp meeting this Wednesday, this summer. Sometimes I feel guilty. My greatest fear is for someone in this 1,300-member church to call me lazy. That's my greatest fear. That someone will say, you don't work. You don't do nothing. And so many times what someone else thinks of us or what someone else is, we're afraid they're going to accuse us of being. Your sister says, you don't love your mother the way I love her because you aren't here like I am. If somebody accuses you of those things, you judge yourself for doing those things that actually refresh you. I can't believe you took a day off and all you did was golf. I can't believe you took a day off and all you did was just do what you wanted to do by yourself and Evansville, went shopping for your new shoes. That's actually backward thinking for success. There's five keys to replenishing your bucket. Number one, and it is in this chronological order as far as the first one, is connecting with God. I've learned that if I connect with God and I can get my bucket overflowing or filled, I can live my life out of the reserves rather than hoping I'm going to live my life scraping the bucket to get by with my emotional reserves. When I feel God's love, when the Holy Spirit's bubbling up in me, when I'm having conversations with Him throughout the day, when He whispers to me while I'm on my way to Walmart, when I'm trying to present and be responsive to Him, when I'm dialed in and God says, Michael, and I go, yay, what'd you say? Here I am. When I'm living that kind of life, it replenishes my dynamic life. And so many times we're trying to live a Christian life without living it with Jesus every day. We're just going through the motions and just trying to be Christians in name only. And you can't be a Christian in name only without spending time with Him every day. Can I get an amen? I heard this 17 years ago. And when I first heard it, I was coming out of a Christian walk that saw this as extremely unspiritual. And I actually heard Bill Hybels say it. He says, there are different spiritual pathways to God. He didn't say there's more than one way to God. He says there's different spiritual pathways to the God. Different spiritual pathways. And I thought about that. What gets me closest to God? I thought, solitude and a good Henry Nouwen book. Alone where there's no noise. And if you've never read Henry Nouwen, you better rush to Barnes and Noble's and get one as quick as possible. Nature. I love to sit by water and think and talk to God. And sometimes I got to admit, when I get alone with God, I don't talk to Him. I talk to Him all the time. I just sit, and if He talks to me, I listen. Just kind of clear my mind. I gained a habit many years ago that when I got stressed out, and this is funny, but I swear to you I do this. When I get stressed out, Mike, I will go, and I don't care what I got to do, what is emergencies in front of me, I will get in my car, and I will go to a bench at the city park. And I will sit down on that bench, and I will sit there until I find a sparrow. And when I see a sparrow, if I ever find him in a nervous breakdown, I'm in trouble. But I will put my eye on a sparrow and say, if he's okay, God's still on His throne. And I've learned to trust Him. Sometimes people get closer to God through tradition. That doesn't bring me closer to God. Family traditions do, but tradition, but maybe it does you. Sometimes music brings people closer to God. Sometimes I'm better off getting closer to God by not listening to any music. And sometimes I get closer to God, Mitchell, when I go way back to music that I won't ever really admit I listen to. I'll go back and I'll get something that most of you would roll your eyes to. and we're being vulnerable and authentic tonight. I've got to be honest. My go-to when it comes to music is not Hillsong or Carrie Joby, and I love all that stuff. When I got to get a hold of God, there's this little Pentecostal woman with hair on top of her head that lives in eastern Kentucky that sings music. She's on YouTube, and she slaps a tangerine. And I don't know what it is about that old gal, but something enters into the room when I'm listening to her. And it's like God went, most of you would laugh at her if you saw her and you didn't know it was the woman I was talking about. But I've learned that sometimes music brings me closer to God. But it's my job, it's your job to discover those spiritual pathways of getting closer to God. You've got to kill this idea in your life. I've got to look good for so-and-so. I've got to produce in front of this person. Listen to this. Write this down. Life is simpler when we have only one agenda. That's to meet God. That needs to be your number one agenda. Number two, you know what empowers me? Family. I get empowered when I'm with Aiden. I get empowered when I'm with Lily and Ella or Jenny, or my mom or dad, or my aunts and uncles. I get empowered by family, and I think you would too. To just spend some time with your family where family isn't a burden to you. Now, I realize not every family relationship is replenishing, and you're sitting there in your chair going, you don't know my sister. Because family systems are complex, but maybe it's a friend that's like a family. You know, I get replenished by being with Larry Puckett. Larry Puckett has been my best friend since I was in the fourth or fifth grade, goes to church here. So unassuming, you have to catch him coming in and out. But when I'm with him, I don't have to be Pastor Michael. I don't have to pray for divine healing. I don't have to come up with $1.6 million every year. I don't have to do nothing. I'm going to be Michael that loves Journey and REO Speedwagon and Loverboy. Can I get a witness? I can be Michael. Larry knows enough to put me in jail, moving right along. You've got to have friends like that that you can let your hair down and be yourself in front of. And so friends are very valuable. So maybe family replenishes you. But do you know what else should replenish you? And all of these are, if you look at the book of Genesis, these are really rooted in the book of Genesis. You know what else should replenish you? And this is going to shock you. Satisfying work. Work that replenishes you. Listen, work was not meant to be a curse from God. Adam and Eve worked before the fall. Work was designed by God to empower you and to cause you to want to get up and go. And if you're not working in that kind of job, I know you might have to work in it a little bit longer until God opens the door for you, but you need to find the kind of work that turns your knob. You're going to find the kind of work that keeps you up at night, the kind of work that doesn't drain you again and again and again. Because if your work drains you again and again and again and again, then maybe you're in the wrong vocation. If your work enables you to keep your bucket filled, you got to say, God, either help me to change my attitude about this job or get me a new job. And maybe you need to take a deep look at yourself this summer and say, God, we need to talk about work because I need to make a difference between my needs and my wants. I want a new boat so I can go to Kentucky Lake after 1 o'clock on Sunday. Can I get a witness? Amen. Or at 10:45, which if you come to the 9 o'clock service. Or my needs. And if I've got to get rid of some of my wants to get to my needs so my work is satisfying, would it pay off long term for your family to do that kind of stuff? The other one is recreation. Do you realize that God can renew you? This doesn't sound spiritual to fundamentalists, but let me assure you it is, because God, I'm going to say something really radical. Now, first, let me say, honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy, and coming to church is not an option. You cannot be a good Christian and not go to church, period. I'll eat your lunch in 5 minutes with Scripture over that one. Now, with that out of the way, let me say something to you. Sometimes if you've honored the Sabbath and you come to church, the best thing you can do for your spiritual walk with God is go play baseball, go hunting. Because you think it's not spiritual. But who created the animals? Who created the sun and the moon and the stars? Is for you to actually get to the place in your life where you use recreation. How could I take time to go have fun when people are so far from God? The truth is, if you don't start having some fun, you're going to be the one far from God. And I realized a year ago in my life, a year in September, that if I didn't find a hobby, I have two hobbies, work and going to the movies, that if I didn't find a new hobby, I was going to be in trouble again. And so I joined every genealogical association in Western Kentucky. I joined Hopkins County, I joined Webster County, I joined McLean County, Davies County, I joined them all. And I love that. And I meet, and the only problem with it, I need some of you to go with me, because everyone in those groups are like 60, 70, 80 years old. And I've been hit on more in the last 3 months than I have ever been hit on in my life. And I love it. Not only that, it came out wrong. Let me clarify that. What I love is being in those genealogical meetings. And these people, and I do everything in my power not to tell them what I do for a living. Because I hate when people act differently in front of me. And I don't tell them. Sometimes they find out, but I don't tell them. And so it just replenishes my bucket for God. And we don't even pick up a scripture. We don't sing hymns. As a matter of fact, we stand up and say the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we give a Robert's Rules of Order report. But somehow that replenishes me. You've got to figure out what kind of recreation replenishes you. You see, look at the word recreation, recreation, recreate, recreate energy, recreate vitality in the inward person. Recreation is meant to recreate. And you need replenishment of recreation to keep you filled up. It may be boating. That's what Bill Hybels does. He sailboats constantly. And that's what he does. He goes out on a sailboat in Lake Michigan. The other one is exercise. How many of you wish you exercised more than what you do? Can I see hands? Me too. I'll be doing good, and then I'll get so busy, I'll lose it. But you know what I found out? There's more than one way to exercise. The only way to exercise is not to go downtown 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, where you can go at any time. Sometimes the best exercise is to be in the pool. Sometimes the best exercise is to take a walk around the block. Sometimes the best exercise is to go hiking down at Western Kentucky Dam. But what kind of exercise can you do? Because what happens when you exercise, it releases the endorphins in your brain, which are pleasure chemicals. You say, I've had a heart attack, I can't walk a long way. Walk to the end of the block. Whatever you do, make sure there's recreation in your life, because it may be recreation to you is playing Jim Rummy. Maybe recreation to you is doing something else that has nothing to do with God. You see, what I want you to know about replenishing yourself is you replenish yourself not always spiritually with spiritual things that you think are spiritual. You actually replenish yourself with things that you think aren't spiritual, but God considers them very spiritual. And when you realize, if you don't come tonight for any other thing than what I just said, I am giving you permission to be free. That you can get revived spiritually. I'm not saying that your church on Sunday is in a tree. Bull. That's bad doctrine, which leads to bad practice. Orthodoxy influences orthopraxy. But I am telling you that outside Sunday and Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, that you can replenish yourself spiritually and not pick up a Bible. And not pray in tongues for an hour and a half. And not shout and run up down the aisles. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with those things. I'm just telling you that God is bigger than your little box you're putting him in. And that he can replenish you with the power of the Holy Spirit in the middle of Kentucky Dam. He can replenish you out on your swing, Uncle Junior. He can replenish you in the most unbeknownst places to you. He can replenish you right there. And you know what I've realized is some of the most spiritual things I've ever done, you're going to laugh. Sleep. I will never forget. Sounds crazy. This is all just backwards from what I've been taught my whole life by preachers. But it's truth. I've learned the best thing I can do with God is just go sleep first. If I'm stressed out because someone's dying of cancer, and I'm stressed out because someone's got surgery and is in trouble at work, and I'm stressed out because of this and stressed out because of that and stressed out because of this, rather than be a Martha, I become a Mary. And I sit at his feet, and sometimes the first principle of sitting at his feet is go to bed. Go get some sleep. And let God renew you. You are not Superman or Superwoman. The best thing you can do from God, even ask a doctor about diabetes. One of the greatest ways to cure diabetes or to live above in good glucose, good blood sugar, is for you to get sleep. And if you have bad sleep, your blood sugar goes up. And if you get adequate sleep, your blood sugar goes down. Even science produces and proof of what I'm telling you. But some of the best things you could ever do in your life is just go get sleep. On prayer retreats, when we went out on a prayer retreat, that's the most productive things I've ever done with this staff all year. And I'm getting ready to do one for you. I don't know if I told you that, but in October, I'm going to invite all of you to go on a prayer retreat. I sound like Tweety Bird. A prayer retreat with me in the fall. How many of you would be interested in taking a day or two and just praying? Going with me. Yeah. Here's the rules. The first night, sleep in as long as you want. I don't care. I don't care if you sleep in all day the second day. Sleep until 10 o'clock. I don't know how that's possible, but if you can do it, you do it. But then I want you out of that cabin. And I want you alone, and I don't want you with anyone. I'm going to show you the hills and the trails, and I'm going to show you the lake, and I'm going to show you where you can go, and I want you to go there by yourself. And I told the staff, sleep in. I don't care. There's no rules. Not getting up, making big breakfasts. There's Barney Rubble, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. There's your cereal. Eat it when you want to. Grab an apple. That's fine. Lunch, come in and as you go. There's lunch meat. We're not making a big deal out of it. Get along with God. But feel free to get some rest before you do. It's the most amazing, beneficial thing we've ever done for this church's leadership. To just get some rest and some sleep. How many of you, the devil makes you feel guilty about sleep? Can I see your hands? Yeah, that's why. So I want to encourage you to begin your day with a full bucket. And I want to encourage you to move from being exhausted to being energized. And I told you five ways you can do it. And you may think they're very unspiritual and that you didn't come to a Bible study tonight. But let me assure you that you come and you came to hear truth, and you did and have heard truth. You replenish your energy in ways that you don't know you replenish your energy. You go from overscheduled to organized. We're going to talk about that next week. Harnessing the power of your calendar. We're going to talk about being overwhelmed to being in control. How we're going to master our finances. How many of your finances stress you out? Yeah. We're going to move from being restless to being fulfilled. How many of you want to be fulfilled at work? We'll talk about that. How many of you want to move from being wounded to being whole? Do you want to walk away from bitterness and walk in forgiveness with people? We're going to talk about from moving from being anxious to peaceful, how we're going to conquer the fears, the phobias in our life. We're going to talk about moving from isolation to being connected, and we're going to talk about moving from drifting to being focused, because if you want to overextend yourself, the best thing you can do is not to be focused. But if you want to be focused, you can't overextend yourself. And so let me tell you one of the best spiritual practices you can do on Wednesday night.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.